Part 2. The City. Over the years, Johann stayed on the beach with his flock, but he was never again bored, nor ever wanting more, for each moment felt vibrant and alive. He slept often, sometimes confusing the real world for his dreams. He would lay down to rest and close his eyes, and he would see and hear things from other worlds, not quite fully developed, but there as shadows or images incoherent and disparate. Johann thought about the mind. He considered how dreams and the world could be so similar. After a time, he found that he could quiet his mind and feel as if he were drifting deep within himself, feeling a great relaxation and a strengthening bonding with the surrounding world and with the other gulls. But these gulls just flew, swam, and foraged for food, not seemingly aware of the things Johann was experiencing. Johann's fluffy little internal worlds and realities would remain a secret for him alone, for the time at least. This too felt good, because everything that he experienced did now. But Johann had a yearning in his heart for something he could not identify, for deep within him was a feeling that the child starfish and the old drunk had handed him a card that he was just now beginning to learn how to play. All might have remained just as it was. But for a young gull that strayed off over the hills in a direction away from the coastline, a distance so far that he was missing for several days. He returned, tired but excited, wanting to tell his story to all who would listen. Johann, curious, flew down on the beach where the gulls were assembling, and he listened. I flew high over a great vast forest with trees and meadows and lakes and rivers. No seagulls lived there, but many other kinds of birds did. Then on the second day, it was getting late and I stumbled into a great human embodiment. I saw rows and rows of human dwellings of all kinds and colors, and roads going in all directions crisscrossing each other like a great checkerboard. And cars were whizzing about at twice the speed of a gull. Then when night came, the valley lit up, sparkling stars all over. It was a fairyland. Johann stood at the rear and listened intently. I must go there, he thought, for such would be the dwelling of the child who had visited him and instructed him on finding happiness. The next morning Johann awoke early before sunrise, and looked about. He had decided the night before. He would leave now and fly off to the human dwellings. The young gull, he believed, was an unknowing messenger for the old drunk, and the gull's testament was the message to go and find the human dwellings. Here he would uncover that new language spoken of long ago by the old drunkard. Johann looked about the flock still asleep on the rocks. He knew he could make the trip much faster than the younger gull, so he thought there was no need to awaken any of the gulls to inform that he was leaving. Johann lifted his wings and let the breeze from the ocean take him into the air. From a great height, he aimed his body toward the mountains and began his flight to the city of the humans. So many years had gone by since Johann had flown at the great speeds he had learned from the humans' fighter jets. As Johann dived, he tucked back his wings and picked up speed. A tailwind from the ocean gave him added buoyancy, allowing him to drive for speed, yet rise up with the wind, not losing altitude for great distances. He must be going 150 miles an hour, he thought. And it was enlightening, as if he had just thrown away an old dogma and broken free, back to that of the ambitious gull of his youth when he was first learning fast flying. The Lord had instructed him not to show off with his fast flight, nor to make the vain effort of using his skills to escape from the present, from which there is no escape. But today Johann was on a mission to understand the information given to him by the child, the message from the Lord himself. And this time he felt the Lord would be proud of Johann's new endeavor. Johann's flight brought him over a forest spread out upon three big rows of mountains. There were trees of great height, and the forest it ranged was as vast as the eye could see, as the young gull had testified. He saw a valley and a spring, and a meadow and a lake. And many birds lived within it, but there were not any seagulls, as the young gull had testified. Resting on the first ridge, Johann flew on, diving at great speeds down toward a valley, then rising up to the next great hill. There he rested, and from there he again flew on to the next range of mountains. Sunlight still illuminated Johann's surroundings when he traversed the final hilltop, and he saw the great abode of the humans, a city of substantial size as big as was the forest, with dwellings, roads, and buildings in rows as far as the eye could see. Johann flew down low just over the rooftops and scanned his new environment. He saw a long row of posts taller than the buildings, with wires strung along their tops. Surprised, yet impressed at how the humans had thoughtfully provided perches for the birds to rest on and to look upon the city, he landed upon a wire and looked down. The wire was thick, about 3/4 inch around, a good size for a large bird like Johann, and from it, he could see a good distance yet focus on the immediate area, seeing great detail. This new and fabulous view contains what would become the new language of which the old drunk had spoken. Such variety he saw in all the forms and images. Some he had never seen before. He saw a row of several shiny silver rails, and on them was a long white vehicle, something like the fighter jets but without wings, and assigned to the ground. It followed along the path created by the rails. "That's a train," a voice came through Johann's left ear. Surprised, Johann turned and looked. A bird of just under his size was perched beside him on the wire. This bird was coal black. Johann knew him to be a crow. He had seen such birds before. "Seagulls don't come here so often," the crow said. "There is a flock down by the lakefront buildings, but they don't come into the city much otherwise." "You're new." "I came in from the ocean," Johann said.
"Ocean?
What's that?" "A bird," the crow's answer caught Johann off guard, but then he realized that land-based birds may not know what an ocean beach is any more than a young seagull from the ocean would know what a city was. It's an area of water that is so vast that the other side cannot be reached, or even seen, Johann said.
"Amazing," the crow replied.
"Just when you think you've seen everything." The crow and Johann sat for a while, watching the cars and hearing the city noise.
"Drain," said Johann.
"And you had never seen an ocean?"
"Drains go by here 100 times a day, the crow replied.
"Our job is to catch them when the people get on. They toss out lots of goodies, whole meals that we can feed on for half the day and stuff ourselves silly."
"Food, I hadn't thought about that," replied Johann.
"The humans put up these perches and they feed us too?"
"Whoa."
The crow looked like he was about to break into a laugh.
"Oh yes, but none is intentional. It's all accidental. But that is the way of life," he cawed.
"So that's how I'm to eat?"
Johann asked.
"You're a gull, you can do better. Go to the lakeside concourse. The humans will actually throw food to you. It entertains them, particularly if you catch it in your mouth. And you may get lucky and find some real food in the lake, but the human catchings are so easy that gulls don't usually bother."
"And where do I find this concourse?"
asked Johann.
"As the crow flies, it's that way," the crow said, pointing his beak off to one side. "You can't miss it. Better get going. It will be dark soon." This was all new and curious to Johann. He thanked the crow, flapped his wings, and lifted from the wire.
Johann's education. As the crow had said, the lake was impossible to miss. Johann could barely make out the other three sides of it, they were so far in the distance. Just under him was a long row of grand buildings. "It must be the concourse," he thought, and he flew down and circled to assess what he had found. There were many gulls sitting on the posts on the deck overlooking the water, and others were on the ground in all places, intermingling with the people. It looked quite safe and inviting. Johann flew down low and landed on a post where no gulls were perched. He felt almost as if he was at home, and he remembered how the Lord had told him that he had come to radiate the blessed and plentiful spatial energy of the Lord. He knew that these gulls, like the ocean gulls and the crow on the wire, would welcome him. Johann looked about. Gulls were running along the deck scavenging the eateries for food dropped or left there by the humans. It was bountiful, but suddenly he felt a sharp object dig into his neck and he was thrown down to the ground. A large gull was flying off, cawing. As Johann moved to stand up, a second the gull swept down and bit him on the back.
Johann flew back up to the post and stood ready, poised to defend himself. He remembered, then, the Lord's word, and he didn't want to fight these gulls, so he flapped his wings and flew up to the top of the pointed roof of a building nearby. The gulls didn't bother him there. He was far enough away from their turf. Regaining his confidence with the feeling that he wasn't threatening these gulls there on the roof where he was, he sat down atop it and meditated on the things that the child starfish had said long ago. He was surrounded by all kinds of forms and bright colors that he had never before seen. Most were man-made, flat surfaces, primitive shapes like squares and triangles, and spatial cubes and cylinders. The lake was still and calm, and he sensed many new sounds and smells about the place, mainly the human voices and their food being cooked and consumed. Darkness was coming. He fell asleep. Knock, knock, two short knocks. The abrupt sound awakened Johann. Someone was at the door. Johann opened the door. It creaked as it opened, for it was a heavy door, made of wood. Many star-like lights twinkled from the outside, and in silhouette, he saw the form of a child. Starfish, what a surprise, Johann said, as the child entered. You found my city, Starfish replied. I was looking for the language that you spoke of, but I never expected you, Johann replied, for he had not interacted with a child in quite a long time. The language. Yes, the language, replied Starfish. Johann stood speechless, not knowing what next to say. Seeing his uneasiness, the child spoke. The door. I came through a door. You opened and greeted me. I did, replied Johann. But there's a problem, said Starfish. Problem? What? You don't know what a door is. You have never really seen one before now. Johann couldn't disagree. The door had seemed so normal, but he had not ever noticed one before today, as the child said. The door is language, said Starfish. I come through a door. The door separates one place from another. Could I have done that at your habitat? The beach? There is no such thing as a door at the beach, said Johann. Yes, the child said. No such thing. That is right. You have learned a new word this day. When the sun rises, go and look at all the new words yet to be added to your already enhanced vocabulary. Each word is precious, each one a building block from this life to your next one, and to your eternal reward. You will carry these words with you. You will have them forever, or until you forget them. Do not forget these words. Confused as to what the child was referring to, Johann sat and said nothing, wondering. The child appeared to understand this. Do not forget the door, the child said. It is your entranceway to heaven, the true heaven that will not perish nor bore you in its repetition so that you will want to leave it. Why did you lose interest in all those many heavens above you, so much so that you desire to forget all you had learned and return to the world of pain? I don't know, Johann replied, although he was not quite telling the truth, for he did indeed know why he had found them two to be wanting. You left them because they had become uninteresting, with their repetition, Starfish replied. And that was due, in part, to your limited vocabulary. Vocabulary. Gulls don't usually talk at all. But they do, Starfish said. The words they string together are born from their environment. Those words are the ocean, and the waves, and the beach, and the wind. And they are you, and the fellow gulls of your flock. You cannot reside independently. You must be in an environment, a shared reality. You cannot live in a vacuum, for you are a part of your environment. The ocean, and waves, and beach, and sea smells are as much a part of you as you, yourself are. But you come at will and show yourself in various different ways, Johann said. I came as who I am, the child replied. It is you who saw me as separate and different characters. Not so, Johann complained. Oh, very much so, said the child. You saw me as you knew me from the words and sounds that others had handed you, yet I am more than any one personality. It is you who pictures me as you do, your mind, that is. But whatever character I play, it is a symbol that your mind has created. That's nuts, Johann said. I come in differing environments, so I am characterized as what that reality interprets. I am one and the same, and your mind shows you that. This is the language at your disposal and in front of your face, but you do not see it. The child stopped and eyed Johann, but Johann could not speak. So the child continued, in these various realities, we play out differing events because our environment is as much a part of us as we are ourselves, and we do not appear as the same person because the external part of us is different. Yet through these differing selves, we better reveal our full natures, for we are more complex than can be revealed through a single personality. You are not the same seagull that you were yesterday, because today you are in a city and yesterday you were at the beach. Here you may reveal different aspects of your whole self, because of the more complex language at your disposal. Like the door, Johann replied. Like the door, Starfish said. Now, why were you in such a hurry to come to the city? Johann understood, but didn't know how to respond. Starfish was chastising him again for flying so fast over the mountains to get here in a hurry. He decided it best to say nothing. There are many doors at the beach, the child said. You just said there weren't any, Johann replied. I was kidding. You step through a door when you shut your eyelids and fall into slumber, and return back through the door when you awaken, usually in the morning. Today you have a physical image of the event, in minuscule. I must leave now. Understanding the child enough to know what to do, Johann opened the door and the child walked out through the door. Johann closed it behind him, and all turned black as the lights of the city vanished. Johann awoke, remembering his vivid dream in detail, but he was afraid to open his eyes, not knowing where he would be. He listened and heard the surf, but it was muffled, not loud and sharp as like on the rock at the sea, more like a rumble or a soft roar. He opened his eyes. For a moment, he was disoriented. He looked about him. Other seagulls were asleep nearby him. He looked out at the lake and then down at the deck and the colorful buildings alongside it. The sun was just breaking over the horizon. All was sleepy and peaceful. Johann opened his wings and leapt from the top of the roof that he had bedded on that night, and he flew down over the top of the lake. He could see fish near the surface, close enough to catch easily. He flew over the lake for a while, analyzing it. Then he dove down into the water and came out with a small fish, not 8 inches in length, in his beak. It was a real catch. With fish in mouth, he turned toward the deck and dropped the fish down well inside it, away from the water's edge. The fish jumped about, making an effort to flip back into the water. The gulls were up and awake, and saw what Johann had done. They all took off for the deck. Johann looked about, but didn't see the two large gulls that had attacked him the night before. He turned his head and focused an eye down at the fish on the deck. The two gulls were there, tearing pieces from the fish and fighting off the other smaller gulls. Again, Johann took off from the deck and circled the waters, looking for his second catch. Seeing it, he swooped down into the water, scooped up another fish, much larger too, nearly a foot long. He turned and dropped it off on the deck away from the first. The two big gulls took off flying to the second fish. The other gulls feasted on the first one. Johann watched, happy at what he had done. These gulls were worthy of more than the humans' French fries and hamburger bits that they usually feasted on. Others of the gulls tried to emulate Johann's fishing art, but only a handful returned with a bounty in their beaks. Johann packed up a few of the scraps scattered by the other gulls. It would be ample food for him, and he hoped that he had taught those two big gulls a lesson to dwell on in their future years. It was time for Johann to leave this flock, but not the area yet. His mission had only begun. He was to learn this new language of images created by the humans. Alone on a railing aside the deck, Johann sat and meditated upon this morning's events. Those big gulls had been greedy, but it was typical of the gulls. In time, they would learn that this way of fighting was rudimentary, a starting point for moving on. These gulls were coming to life, as Starfish had taught. They came from nothing and were engaging in movement. Their wretched existence would improve with time, and for this time, They were not even aware there was anything more than to forage and fight over food. Such an existence was better than no existence. Inwardly they were content with their misery. To fall back into the nothingness of primal existence was worse. Scanning his eyes across the row upon row of bright colorful buildings, Johann noticed many doors. There were tall doors and wide doors, double doors and small doors, and brightly colored, each door reds, greens, whites, blues, just about any color imaginable. Their frames were often a completely different color. Some doors had windows, others had designs carved upon them, some were plain, and others quite grand. People were beginning to circulate about the place, first just a few, and as the sun progressed overhead, they came in large numbers, whole families, milling about. Some doors were swung open now, and people were going through them, entering a building or leaving from it, all happening through these various doors. Inside the doors, people gathered garments, trinkets, and food, and came out showing them off to each other, laughing and jiggling. These doors were indeed something of magic, as Starfish had implied. Fixing the images, sounds, and smells in his mind, Johann flew down on the dock to investigate further. He snapped up a French fry covered with ketchup. It was different from anything he had ever tasted. He bit down on a hamburger bun, but saw a large gulf lying at him. He shoved his beak into the bun and took off in flight. He circled down over the gull, dropping the bun down on him, and Johann cawed. That big gull won't quickly forget that lesson, Johann thought, and Johann chewed the last bit of bun that had adhered to his beak. Time to leave now, Johann thought. He set his eyes back on the way he had come, and flew high over the city. Every now and then, he flew down low and scanned over the landscape. He landed on a wire high over the rooftops. Far to his right he saw the lofty mountain range from where he had come. There's my way back, he thought. A crow flew down and landed on the wire. Johann recognized him as the crow who had greeted him here the afternoon before. Whoa, mister. Nil, the crow cried. You've made a name for yourself already. How so? Johann asked. Earlier, well before noon, a flock of small gulls flew by here. They told of a gull with magical powers who flies more gracefully than any gull has flown, who produces fresh real food in abundance, sharing it, wanting none himself, and who sleeps throughout the night with a glow about him. They believe you are the Great One who was spoken of by the elders of long ago, the Great One from over the mountains far beyond. Personally, I don't believe in that stuff, though. Smart, Johann replied. He thanked the crow for his friendship and hospitality, and he flew off toward the mountains. Flight home. His foot coming down upon a small branch, Johann found himself way up atop a tree at a height greater than he had ever before seen. He was a foreigner here, and so he figured it was dangerous and he should not stay long. Why had Starfish told him to come back more slowly when such danger was lurking? Johann flew on toward the second range, but flew at normal gull speeds. He was flying against the wind now anyway, and could more easily gather height than he could speed. So he continued to fly, way up in the air above any predators, he hoped. Just past the second range of mountains, he saw it was getting dark and he would not be able to get back with the flock this evening. He scanned the valley below him and saw a river just ahead. He dived down and circled about and up and down the river. It was maybe 100 feet wide at its best, and was ripe with ducks and geese. He flew down near a flock of ducks wading in the water. He would be safe enough here, he thought, and the ducks wouldn't bother with him if he stayed out of their way. He flew up to a low branch on a tree, and wondered how the fishing was here. The ducks were quacking and splashing in the water. They probably eat bugs to live, he thought. He was tired, and he had enough food in him from the morning. He fell asleep. Quack, quack, quack. Johann looked down. A lone duck was on the ground. Quack, 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 it repeated. Instinctively, Johann flew down to the grass below, just feet away from the duck. You are at my father's house, the duck said. Anxious, Johann said nothing. He studied the duck. This is no ordinary duck, he thought. Starfish? He said, almost whispering, for he was not sure. The duck was now Buddha, sitting in a meditative position. The abrupt change surprised Johann, though he had almost known that this duck was the same child who had visited him often. Buddha sat, saying nothing, not moving, as he had done after their first meeting many, many years before. Johann studied the Buddha. He had on a faded orange robe. At his father's house, Johann thought, mulling over the Buddhist's words. All was quiet as the Buddha continued to sit, saying nothing and not moving. Johann heard the river flowing, a smooth bubbly sound. It was a peaceful, more so than the ocean roar to which he was accustomed. Today, Johann did not feel as uneasy as he had before, with the silence. Today he was hearing sounds he had never before heard, not just the river, but the grass too, rustling in the gentle breeze, and birds cawing in the distance, perhaps a raven far off, smaller birds, and he thought he heard the familiar gulls too, off in the distance somewhere. They were there a long while together, sitting in the grass along the river, saying nothing. Then, just as night was upon them, the Buddha spoke. My father will provide for you always, because you respect him and because you follow his way. Do not fear flying faster than the other gulls. You may even fly faster than a jet fighter, if you wish and if you can, but do so only with purpose. I have watched you. You have learned that purpose. Soon you will come to know why repetitiveness was so essential in your journey, for you are close now to sustaining a world. You are at the threshold of finding life. Soon you will write your own reality, your own future, free from the enslavement of a shared world. You will go anywhere at will, conquer all that is, and control all in your domain, yet you will go nowhere, conquer nothing, nor control anything. With that, Buddha again sat quietly, not moving, and Johann fell fast asleep. At the break of morn, Johann awoke and opened his eyes. Before him was a meadow of golden grass as far as he could see and a river with ducks and geese bathing and splashing about. Johann stood up, stretched his wings, and began his flight over the third and final mountain toward home. He expected he would arrive there by noon. Learn more about Johann's awakening at johannsawakening.com.